The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Our toll-free telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you're already there, hang on. We'll get to you in a minute. Couple things need to go through before we get to our calls, but I just wanted to let you know the number there right away, 888-677-9673. And let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless, use the program for your glory this evening. Watch over us, Lord, and help us to point people to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you for all you've done. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. Just want to remind you that you can check us out online. There's two ways that you can check us out online. You can go to our webpage, which is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more about me, more about our church, and more about the program. You can also listen to some past programs there, all at livewithpastoral.com. And if you're in an area where you do not hear our Friday afternoon program, we're on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, you can listen to those programs also there at livewithpastoral.com. And there's also links to some articles and some different things I've put together over the years. You can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. You can also go online to our Facebook page, and that is at Facebook Live with Pastor Al. See, getting the theme here, Live with Pastor Al, if you can just remember that. If nothing else, you can always Google us, I guess. And we're on Facebook, and you can check out our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al. You can like our page, keep up to date with some things that we've got there. And I try to link on a bunch of news articles and things as they come by. Sometimes I spend a little time commenting on some things that are going on. Sometimes I just list the article there because it's interesting, and or I find it interesting, and hopefully it'll be interesting to somebody else as well. And one thing I did want to point out before I get past it here, if some of you remember back in 1993, when the World Trade Center was bombed, the blind Sheikh Omar Rahman, I believe, Sheikh Omar Rahman, let me see if I've got it right here. Oops, you're whacking the microphone here myself, but Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman recently passed away. I believe he was in federal prison, and he was there because he was the mastermind for the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center. And you can look that up online. I don't want to go through all the details there, but their intent at the time was to take down the one tower, crash it into the other tower by exploding a large truck bomb down in the parking garage in the basement. And that failed, and there's a variety of interesting reasons why it failed, but he was rounded up as the mastermind. Well, I pointed out the blind Sheikh. I pointed this out on our Facebook page. The blind Sheikh, who was the mastermind of the 1993 World Trade Center, died. He was not only physically blind, but he was spiritually blind. And he was spiritually blind to God's truth. Well, he's no longer spiritually blind, but it's too late for him. And in Luke chapter 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And The blind sheikh came to the sudden realization, like the rich man did in Luke chapter 16, here in verses 23 and 24, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and see the Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And with that in mind, we need to pray for the millions around the world who are still spiritually blind. They're blinded and in bondage to the false religion of Islam. And if you'll pray for their salvation, I know that you'll be joining the formerly blind Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, who, like the rich man in Luke chapter 16, only down in verses 27 and 28, the Bible says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Well, Sheikh Rahman was looked up to as a spiritual leader by millions around the world, and hopefully they would look up to his prayers, that I'm sure he's making the same prayers that the rich man in hell in Luke chapter 16 is praying, because he has brethren, that he doesn't want to come to the place of torment that he finds himself in now. So pray for people, as a friend of mine, Tom Wallace, who has another program that some people have heard at various places, you can find on the internet, and he's also on some radio stations, Fortress of Faith. You can find him online as well. He's been on our program in the past, but he likes to remind people. He has a ministry, Reaching Muslims with the Gospel. He likes to remind people that the first victims of Islam are the Muslim peoples themselves, and they're the ones who are in bondage and enslaved to that false religious system. So pray for people around the world that perhaps as a result of this, that they might come to an understanding of the truth. Well, we'll talk about some other things here tonight as well, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we have, I believe, Jeremiah waiting patiently for us tonight, and Jeremiah, welcome to the program this evening.
Yeah, it feels good to be back on the show.
Well, thank you, Jeremiah. Good to have you with us tonight. What's on your mind?
I have three verses. I got a question. I have my King James Bible open to three different verses.
All right, let's have the verses verse, there.
There's one verse that talks about being a pastor. And I know you're just talking about a pastor.
All right. What's the reference there?
It says, "As for me, I have not fasted."
Let me interrupt just a second there. What's the reference so I can catch up with you, be on the same page?
Oh, it's Jeremiah 17, verse 16.
Oh, okay, Jeremiah chapter 17. All right, let me get there real quick. Jeremiah 17, verse, I think you said 15?
16.
Okay. All right, I believe I'm up with you now, Jeremiah. There you go. Go ahead, read it.
So that for me, I'm not casting for being a pastor to follow thee. You don't have a desire to willful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee.
Amen.
Did that talk about being a pastor?
Well, in Jeremiah's comments here, if we look at this, Jeremiah has been talking to the Lord, and the Lord's been talking with him. And remember, Jeremiah was given a very difficult ministry. I mean, Jeremiah certainly was not given a ministry of encouragement here. He was called the weeping prophet for a reason, and he was a prophet that God called to be in Jerusalem leading up to the time of the demise of Jerusalem, when Jerusalem would be laid siege to and fall to the Babylonians. And his message, of course, was to tell people that judgment was coming. And it was a very unpopular message, and were it not for God's protection, he would have been killed several times because of his message. It's only by the grace of God that he didn't. And so you can see where Jeremiah here in this passage is actually speaking out to the Lord. In fact, if you go back a little bit here in verse number 14, he says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." And then he continues, "Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now." And then that's where we come into your verse. "As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day thou knowest. That which came out of my lips was right before thee." Then he continues, "Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope for the day of evil." And when you think about this, Jeremiah has not shirked his duty here. He's not hasted from being a pastor to follow thee. He's not tried to run away. I mean, he didn't like necessarily what he was having to deliver, but he did not desire the destruction of Jerusalem. And he's saying, "I didn't desire, and neither have I desired the woeful day, thou knowest." And God knows that Jeremiah is not a preacher who is out there saying, "You're all going to die, and I can't wait to see it." You know, he's not like Jonah. Remember Jonah went up and sat under, you know, he went through Nineveh after his underseas trip. He went to Nineveh, and he said, "Listen, God's going to destroy this city and everybody that's in it." And then he went up and sat in the hillside and said, "Now I'm going to watch it happen." He couldn't wait. You know, Jeremiah was not like that. Huh?
Then Jonah got swallowed by a whale.
Yeah, that's what I meant about his undersea trip. And after that, he went to Nineveh, and he said, "You're all going to die." And he didn't have a tear in his eye. He was wanting them to die. In fact, he sat up on the hillside watching. And when God said that he was going to spare him, he basically told God, "Well, that's why I didn't want to come and give him the message, because I knew if they listened and repented, you'd spare him." And he didn't want him to be spared. And Jeremiah was not like that. He was not desiring to see Jerusalem fall to the Babylonians. And he's saying, "Neither have I desired the woeful day, thou knowest. That which came out of my lips was right before thee." He's saying, you know, "I spoke the message that you gave to me to speak." People didn't like it, but he was not shirking his duty. He didn't enjoy his message. He wasn't looking forward to the fulfillment of his message. I think there's some preachers today that they're just like rubbing their hands, waiting to see the unsaved people fall into some kind of turmoil or trouble or something, or, you know, "I can't wait until God takes care of them." No, I think that'd be more like Jeremiah than Jonah. And they ought to have a tear in their eye, preaching the truth in love, the Bible says. And I think you can see that with Jeremiah. He wept over his people because he knew what God was going to do and why he was going to do it. And so he didn't enjoy it, but yet he gave the message that he was told to give, kind of like Noah did. Noah knew what God was going to do. He'd never seen it before, but he believed God. The Bible says it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham, looking at Abraham there, he left. But still, Noah believed God, and Noah was found, to find favor in God's eyes. But, I'm sure Noah wasn't sitting there going, "I can't wait, you're all going to drown. I can't wait, you laugh at me now, but you're all going to drown." I don't think that's what Noah was doing. I think Noah, in the midst of being ridiculed, was pleading with people to flee from the wrath that would come. And I think this tells us how we ought to be today as believers, as Bible-believing Christians. We shouldn't be saying, "Don't worry, the Lord's going to come, and you're all going to suffer, and you're going to wish you'd listen to me." No, that's not our attitude. That shouldn't be our attitude. Our attitude should be, listen, flee before the wrath that's coming. And we should be encouraging people and praying for people and trying to reach people and have compassion, hoping that they'll trust Christ as their Savior before it's everlastingly too late. Talking about Sheikh Rahman dying, and for everything I know, there's no reason to believe that he ever turned his heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Christ as his Savior. Everything I know about him and his history says that he is right now in hell, lifting up his eyes in torment and praying that God would send somebody to deliver those people that were his friends and his fellow Muslims from the darkness, and, or I should say, the false religion that he himself taught. He knows better now. And I'm not saying that enjoying. Yeah, he's burning in hellfire right now. It serves him right. He deserves it. No, God himself is going to sorrow as he casts people into the lake of fire. And it's not going to give God pleasure. He has no pleasure in their death. But, yeah, we got to have some compassion. I think in Jeremiah shows that. So hopefully that helps with the question there.
My next question is,
yes.
There's a verse in the Bible that talks about a book of Psalms. It talks about apple of thy eye.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah, give me just a moment here. Yeah, and that's a phrase. There's a lot of phrases that we get out of the Bible, and that's one of them. Let's see here. I'm going to try and find it here. Apple. There's a couple places. I think in Psalm 17, verse 8 says, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Now, in Deuteronomy, though, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10, it says, he found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. And that particular one right there, we're looking at, I believe, what God did with the Jewish people there. Let's see here. Here's a couple more, or three more that I've got. Proverbs 7, verse 2 says, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Now, in that case, you know, in Proverbs 7, 2, he's telling us that we ought to desire his commandments, that his law should be something that we want to keep in mind, that we want to pay attention to, the apple of thine eye, and my law as the apple of thine eye. It should be something that we look to and desire to look to. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 18 says, their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river in day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. And I believe that's of course Jeremiah and Lamentations again. And I think he's crying over Jerusalem or Israel, Jerusalem in particular, probably there. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you, this is talking about he that toucheth the Jewish people, toucheth the apple of his eye, which tells us there that Israel is very special. The Jewish people are very special in God's eye. They're the apple of his eye. In fact, that's the expression that we use today. Something that's very special is the apple of your eye. Someone that's very special would be the apple of your eye. But go ahead.
Now, do you think Jesus back in the day that he actually ate apples?
I'm sorry, did you ask about Jesus eating apples?
Yeah, you think he ate apples back then?
Well, apples were there back then. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the expression apple of the eye. No doubt, there would have been. There's a reference to an apple tree Song of Solomon here talks about the apple tree. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Well, that's, you know, describing an apple tree there very clearly. As far as in the New Testament, I don't know that there's any reference to an apple tree in particular. But if the Song of Solomon has it, and we saw those references, you know, to an apple, the apple of my eye, or similar sort of phrases, then obviously apple trees would have been familiar back then. We see Jesus eating, you know, or looking to eat from a fig tree and different things like that. But even though the New Testament doesn't expressly say it, I would certainly imagine that they had them based on what we see in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I like apples personally. Like, you have a good taste in fruit.
Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, that I read there in Song of Solomon talked about the fruit being sweet. And that pretty much describes an apple, doesn't it?
When my mother died, she died back in 96. And she's in heaven now, and I know that for a fact. They planted a tree in her memory, an apple tree. And she liked apples, and they planted a tree in the memory of her. I don't know how old the tree is now. I think it was back in 96.
Well, and you know, that is a neat thing to do, and people do that. They, you know, they'll plant a tree in somebody's honor, and that's a living thing, and it'll go on, and generally speaking, it'll live, you know, for longer than the people who planted it. And when you think of an apple tree, apple trees are kind of unique, and although the Bible doesn't go into this, anybody that's ever had apple trees, they're kind of amazing. If an apple tree is taken care of, you know, if you prune it, and, you know, trim all the dead wood out of it and just try to keep up with it. Apple trees will last a long, long time. Where I grew up on a small farm in Richfield, Ohio, and the back pasture that we had at one time had an apple orchard in it. And so when I was a kid, we had all these old apple trees. And, you know, the apple orchard had been abandoned, you know, years and years ago. And I remember some of these old apple trees just kept going. And you could even go in some of the land outside of where I grew up, off outside of my family's property. There were some old apple trees. And they would just keep going. And they'd still be trying to produce fruit. And I can remember even a few old apple trees that when you got in there and you began to prune them, they would begin producing better fruit, better quality fruit. And, you know, you can make a good analogy there for a Christian if you think about it, Jeremiah, because if we allow God, in a sense, to take care of us, to prune away the dead stuff, you know, the dead wood, and to try to, keep us fenced in and you know, put the, you know, spray on it for bugs and things like that, we can become fruitful and we can last a long time producing fruit for God's glory. You know, so that's a good picture you can get from an apple tree. And certainly it would be fruit that would be desirable, you know, when you think about it. And that's what we ought to be doing as a believer. I know the New Testament uses other trees as examples of bearing fruit, but an apple tree works pretty good, doesn't it?
I have two King James Bibles. One's a giant print edition of reference, and the other one's smaller.
Uh-huh.
I use both of them.
It's good. Sometimes it's harder to read some of the smaller ones. In fact, I've got two Bibles sitting in front of me right now, both King James. One's a larger print, one's a smaller print. But, hey, Jeremiah, we're about out of time here in this side. And thanks and appreciate that. Great idea, planting an apple tree in memory of somebody. I like that. But thanks for listening, Jeremiah. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We're going to be taking a break in just a few minutes here, so we can get you on. We'll be on till midnight tonight, and certainly encourage you to stay listening if you can. Stay tuned in. And if for some reason you can't, you can always find us online at livewithpastoral.com. And eventually, I get the programs uploaded there to where you can listen to it as an MP3 file. And so I encourage you to check those out as well at livewithpastoral.com. And a couple other things hopefully get into here this evening. And let's see, bring this up right here. There's a couple things I was wanting to talk about a little bit and just kind of give you a little bit of teaser. We won't be able to get into this until the next half hour of the program. Or actually, we might get a little further than what we think. But I was watching the news, and we have President Trump being accused of calling the media the enemy of the American people. Okay, now I'm bringing this up for a reason. There's a couple things I want to touch on, building on this. Now he, to be specific, referred to the fake media, the fake news, as the enemy of the American people, not all media. And there was a thing on this morning, I was looking at a clip from it, where Chris Wallace was trying to say that Donald Trump accused all media of being the enemy of the American people, but he didn't. He was accusing the fake media, or the false news, the fake media. I forget the exact wording that he had there, but he was basically, another phrase that was used, as the lying media. And that got me to thinking. I mean, thinking about the media and the groups that he named, CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and MSNBC, NBC, things like that. And I got to thinking, you know, this is interesting because during the Cold War, for those of you who remember the Cold War, there's a bit of information available on the web, and it's really kind of interesting. There was a KGB defector. He was a, if I can find it here, maybe I'll get to it in the second half, what his rank in the KGB was, but his name was Yuri Bezmenov. Bezmenov, I guess it is, Yuri Bezmenov, and he was a KGB defector in the 1980s. He gave an interview in 1984. You can actually see the interview online, and I'm going to be linking it on our Facebook page here. But in this interview online in 1984, Bezmenov explained the methods used by the old KGB. Now, the KGB, to give you a rough equivalent, it was roughly the equivalent of the CIA in our country. And they had another one, the GRU, I believe it was, which was roughly, I guess you could call that the equivalent of the Defense Intelligence Agency, maybe in a very rough sense. It was a military intelligence group. But he detailed how, Bezmenov detailed how the KGB instituted a plan to corrupt and control the American media. And we're going to talk about that in light of President Trump's comment when we come back. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and good to be with you tonight. Hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. We'll be here till midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just want to mention also that our sponsor, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, you can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can give them a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. Just call 216-341-9100 for pickup or delivery. And also, if you're not in the area and you're perhaps looking to start a pizza shop, you need a great pizza recipe, well, let me suggest that you contact Gus at East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's not a franchise. It's his own recipe, and he can help you get started. Whether you're starting a new pizza shop or you need to add pizza to an existing restaurant, maybe you got a pizza restaurant and the pizza's just not that good, well, call Gus at 216-341-9100. It's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. He can help you get started in your own pizza business. Or if you just want to eat a pizza and you're in Northeast Ohio, check him out, 216-341-9100. Or you can find him online at East Coast Pizza, Garfield Heights. .com, I believe, is the website. You can go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and you can link to it there if you can't remember the rest of that. But at any rate, we're going to get back to a couple things you're talking about. And as we closed out the last half hour, I was mentioning about some things tying in, some things I remember from my old days, I guess I could say, in the Air Force during the Cold War, the height of the Cold War, during the 1980s, during the Reagan era, and some things that I've been able to read in other publications and things since that time, and tying it in with some of the comments going on with the media attacking President Trump, and President Trump fighting back against what he calls the lying media or the fake news, and then these attempts in the media to try and say that President Trump is attacking all the media. And let me give you this breakdown real quick here, and then we'll get to our phones here. But in 1984, a high-level KGB defector by the name of Bezmenov, he revealed what the KGB was doing during this time, during the Cold War, and he revealed the extent to which the Russian sleepers and left-wing sympathizers had been planted in various journalistic and editorial positions throughout the American and Canadian media. Now, think about that. They spent a lot of time and a lot of money planting sympathizers and sleeper agents in the American and Canadian media. And stories favorable to the communist cause were given wide coverage, and things which were unfavorable would be, buried and kind of just to try to sweep them under the rug in an effort to change the views of communism and the old Soviet Union in regards, or on the part of the American people. Let me give you an example here. This is a way in which they did this. Now, keep in mind, this is during the Cold War era, and during this time, Radio Moscow, which was a propaganda arm of the Soviet Union, would air some kind of a program with some kind of a theme or concept that they would get out. What would happen, and I've seen this myself, and it's been studied, what would happen then is communist newspapers that were published in the United States, legally published, freedom of information, freedom of press, would repeat the lines from the Radio Moscow and Pravda, which was the print version, I guess you could say, and it was propaganda, pure and simple at that time. And they would print the things from Radio Moscow and Pravda in American communist newspapers. Then, after it got printed in these communist newspapers, openly communist newspapers, then leftist publications like Mother Jones and some others, In These Times, the Pacific News Service, and some others would begin to pick these stories up. Just coincidentally, of course, they would pick these up. And then those stories would then appear in the New York Times or on Good Morning America. And then later, of course, when you know, some of the other news programs and different things, NBC, CBS, ABC, they all picked this up. And the various news services, AP and Reuters and things, would begin to repeat this information. And then this kind of stuff would get propagated, and they would just build it. And anything that was contrary, they would sweep under the rug. Now, keep in mind that they had been doing this for quite some time. In fact, when I left the Air Force, I would always joke with people and say, listen, they got their money's worth in their efforts to control the Western media. Now, the effect that they accomplished there is that they were trying to basically subvert an entire generation. By doing these things, what they did was they first went after the intelligentsia of this country, the universities and things like that, institutes of higher learning, and they used that and then reached down into the high schools and lower grades, and they began using that as basically a brainwashing technique, I guess you could say it, certainly an influencing technique, so that they could, over 15 to 20 years, they could affect an entire generation. Think of the kids that were growing up in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and then especially the 60s and 70s. Then these kids, as they grew up, would begin to enter into society and gradually become the leaders, the thinkers, the shapers of opinion, the ones who are running the media outlets and things like that. And that way you could move to the next step after you've basically affected an entire generation of students in the United States, Canada, and the West in general. You wind up with a bunch of people that it doesn't matter how much you show the facts of things to them. This type of brainwashing has rendered them so intellectually dense that they're completely impervious to all fact, reason, and logic. And we see the effects of that because these people have now taken charge of much of the major media. And President Trump recognizes this fact. He's a little older than I am, and he's been able to see this for a longer period of time, and he's able to see the effects. And believe me, the Muslims are using the same techniques. In fact, a lot of the Muslim leaders were trained by some of these KGB operatives in the exact same techniques. And the reason I'm bringing this up on the program here is we need to understand that the churches in America, I should say, are not immune to this, because along with influencing the media and the schools, the KGB during the Cold War was infiltrating and influencing the churches to where we now have pastors And churches and denominations run by people who, in the first place, aren't saved, but in the second place, they have, like people in other areas of society, become completely impervious to all fact, reason, and logic, and they've become what the KGB, the old Soviets, used to call useful idiots. And that's what we see happening. President Trump recognizes some of this, and he is trying to fight back. Not all media is corrupted in this fashion, but the challenge is trying to find media that is going to present a balance rather than the leftist agenda that you're going to get from the New York Times, from the Washington Post, from CNN, from ABC, NBC, CBS, what really has become fake news. Because basically, during the Cold War, they were bought and paid for by the old Soviet Union through the KGB, and they're being bought and paid for by the Muslim Brotherhood, they have been during the last 8 years, they don't want to let go. And they're also bought and paid for by the LGBT special interests as well. And they're using those things to turn truth into a lie and to advance their agenda. And some people recognize this. Some people are speaking out against it. And believe me, it's happening. And President Trump needs our support against the lying media that's out there. Well, got that off my chest. And we've got a couple more callers calling in. And we're going to take Dave first. He's been waiting the longest. Dave, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, and good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening.
Dave from Canton. Hey, I want to ask a quick question, too.
Yes, sir.
I wrote you about a couple weeks ago. Do you have a newsletter you send out or something?
No. In the past, I have, but it's been many years ago. And, you know, being a pastor of a small church where, you know, I basically have to do most everything.
A lot of work, I know.
Yeah, and then doing the radio program. That's why we started Facebook a few years ago.
Well, I don't have none of that.
Oh, yeah.
I do a lot of writing. And yeah. I thought, well, you could probably write a postcard. But I thought, well, I'll just listen, but I haven't heard any address. I mean, your address, but not a newsletter.
Yeah, and in fact, I've thought about doing some things from time to time. What I have done, I try every once in a while to put together some articles, and that's where, even if you're not on Facebook, people can access our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, and I try to put some things on there from time to time. Some different articles and things like that that I actually put together. In fact, the last thing that I put on there was the testimony that I had opportunity to give for Ohio House Bill 36, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act. That's on there. And then before that, let me just look down here real quick. Just give me just a second here. Go down through the page here. I have, let's see, there's the testimony in support of Ohio Pastor Protection Act. Prior to that, for another program that I guest hosted here in the Cleveland area, I did a program and I took the basis of that program and put together just a short thing called Can You Find These 15 Verses in Your Bible? And then prior to that, there was an article, Why Was Jesus Made a Little Lower Than the Angels? That was a question in regards to Hebrews chapter 2. Yeah. And then earlier in the year, I had reposted my Bible reading plan. But what I'm getting at is a number of things. Here's if God exists, then you know, why does he allow evil and suffering? And I try to put those out there as articles, you know, in lieu of a newsletter. Like I said, in the past, a number of years ago, I had a newsletter, and I would put an article in there every month or two when the newsletter went out, and it just had things going on, family, church, and different things, and the time to do the newsletter, I just didn't have it.
Well, you know, Pastor Al, when you were speaking of the people that don't understand what Trump's trying to do, too, spiritually, their eyes are blind.
Right, exactly. That was part of my point.
I don't even know how to say it, because the news I hear every day, how they're trying to pick on him and make him sound bad. Well, everybody knows it's the New York Post and the NBC.
Yes.
All the news. CNN, it hasn't been very, good to him lately either.
No.
I just don't understand why. What are they trying to accomplish by putting down a president that was elected? He's my president. I fly my flag. I do it. I respect the flag. I salute the flag. I sing the anthem. You know, when the parade goes by, you take your hat off. And I don't see people do that anymore. The Memorial Day coming up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And things like that. Why? I went to school in the 50s, and I was brought up right. And we learned how to write, too. And the kids today can't even write. I mean, and these colleges aren't. If you even send your kid to a college, they have those professors and those people. They'll dumb down your child, and he'll come home, and they won't believe you anymore. They get all these dumb ideas. Unless you know the school, and it's a Christian school that you really know mm-hmm. of, you're just wasting your money.
And even some Christian schools anymore, you have to be careful
with.
Well,
that may be true.
Yeah.
But then here's who I blame. If you're a parent and you're sending your mm-hmm. kids there, why don't you go down there and do your job and make sure they're teaching your child? You march down there, put your marching boots on. That's what I do.
Well, and you hit on something there. Parents need to be involved in their kids'
Correct.
Education.
Go to PTA meetings. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have them anymore. But and I hear the kids don't salute the flag, and they don't say, under God. Like, President Eisenhower had that put in.
Right.
You remember that, right?
Well, that was before me. I was born in the 1960, actually.
Yeah,
so.
When Hawaii came in right after Hawaii. Hawaii came after Alaska was our. And I've even asked children, kids, they don't even know how many states we have. You know all the questions you could ask.
Well, we had a president that didn't know that, too, didn't we?
Well, yeah. Well, I remember that. Okay. But I asked a girl, I said, well, yeah. we need to get oil from Alaska. And she said, well, what do you mean? How could we get oil from Alaska? And she was a high school girl. I said, what do you mean? Well, Alaska's one of our states.
Yeah.
She said, since when?
It's our oil.
She said, since when? And I said, can I tell you something else? She said, what? I said, do you know? And that was in 1959. And I said, well, we got one more state. And she said, oh, which one is that? I said, well, you know where California is, right? She said, yes. I said, well, you see the Pacific Ocean out there? Do you know what I'm talking about? Well,
a little further out.
On a little island. Well, more than one island. I hadn't explained it to her. She doesn't know. I said, and that's one more. She said, well, what is it called? I said, why Hawaii?
Right. Hey, you know something interesting about Hawaii? I heard this.
And I love Hawaii, but you know they're more liberal over there.
Yeah, but Hawaii, actually, the chiefs in Hawaii actually attempted to become a state in the 1800s.
Is that right?
And they, before the Civil War. And they were refused because remember they had that compromise, the Missouri Compromise, I believe it was, where if you were going to let a free state in,
but I slipped up on some of that.
Yeah, but remember they had to balance free states with slave states.
Right. Yeah.
And Hawaii would have come in, I believe, as a free state. Free. It would have upset the balance, and so they didn't want it to become a state at that time. So that's why when you hear the revisionist history that we conquered Hawaii and we destabilized the king and took it over by force is wrong.
But I had some. A quick question. It would be John 7:24.
All right, John 7:24.
Now, what I have in a quoting book, because I use quotes a lot, it says, "Judge not according to the appearance." Now, I know people say, "Judge not," right? And that's in another verse, and I can't pick it up right now.
Well, yeah, John 7:24, yeah, it starts out, judge not, but it says judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Well, see, it doesn't say it here. It just says, judge not according to the appearance. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I judge every day.
Yeah, well, you have to have the that's where you need the complete verse, because
go ahead and read it.
It's judge not according to the appearance. Then there's a comma, and it says, but judge righteous judgment.
Okay. There is judges, right.
Exactly.
Okay, let me explain this. I see a gentleman I've known. Well, I've lost a lot of friends because every one of them that smoked or drank, well, I'm particularly smoked, I said, hey, Bill, I don't smoke, and I would like to tell you, you know that's not good for you. It says it even on the cigarette pack, right? But the state wants the money, so they allow them to still sell the cigarettes, which is a business, so the Ohio gets the money. which then the people get sick, and then we got to pay the hospital for these people, and then they end up dying in the family sorrow. But what I'm saying is, I said, well, you know, you should quit smoking because it's not good for you. I'm not really judging him. I'm trying to tell him to save his life. Well, I can tell you a dozen people I've told, and they're all dead now.
Yeah.
And I'm 70 years old.
Well, yeah, you make a judgment on...
I'm not making... Yeah, see, well, but we were trying to spiritually judge them. I'm trying to tell them for their own good, but I don't like to tell. Today, I don't. You can't tell people what to do because they seem like you're trying to tell them what to do. Okay, well, if a child's going to run in the street to chase the ball, I say, don't run in the street if your ball runs in the street. Now, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and because we're running out of time here, I'm coming up on the end of the program.
I'm sorry.
I just going to say, the idea when you make judgments, it's not, you know, well, I look at this person and, well, he's not as good as I am. I look at that person, they don't measure up to me. That's the wrong kind of judgment. That's the judgment that the Bible warns about,
that's not judging. Personal judgment.
The judgment that we're supposed to use is when we compare somebody to Christ, when we compare somebody to the godly standard of the Word of God, and we say, well, the Bible says this. For instance, let me give you a for instance. You know, when I approach something, as somebody asked me not too long ago, they said, "I have you seen this YouTube video about a guy that died and he went to heaven and God said, you need to go back because you haven't forgiven enough."
Well, yeah.
And I said, well, based on the Bible, I would be a little leery of that because that's like kind of contrary to Scripture. And the individual telling me that said, oh, you know, basically you're being judgmental and all. And I said, well, no, you have to, like the Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if they agree not according to this, because there's no light in them. We judge not according to our opinion, not according to our desire, not according to our likes, but according to what the Bible says.
Correct.
And so, you know, the idea that this guy who died several times went to God and God said, oh, well, you haven't forgiven enough. Go back.
The guy that wanted, like you said, he said to tell my family not to come here. But listen here, we do have to judge because you heard of the judgment day, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. In fact, if we're not willing to judge ourselves, compare ourselves to Christ.
See, that's called judgment. So if God didn't believe in judgment, there wouldn't be judgment day. He just let you do anything you want, wouldn't he?
That's true. Going to have to let you go there, Dave.
Thank you. We're about out of time. Very good program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, and maybe I'll try and send you something here. I still got your address. I had been meaning to send you something. You had sent me a note there previously. Appreciate that. But again, righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. For instance, let's say this. You're not too many weeks ago, we had a sporting event of some note, I guess, the Super Bowl, I believe it was. And during the Super Bowl, if I remember correctly, at the end of the Super Bowl, there was a controversial call, wasn't there? And now supposedly, and again, I don't follow football, I don't follow sports in general, but the referees, the game officials, reviewed the play. And they looked at it, and what were they supposed to do? Now, whether or not they actually did this, what were they supposed to do? Were they supposed to say, you know, I don't like the team that would win if we call it this way, so I'm going to call it the other way? They weren't supposed to do that. They're supposed to make a judgment call. But they were supposed to make the judgment call based on the rule book, the rules of the game. Not on their personal opinion, on their personal likes or dislikes. They weren't to say, I just don't like it that way, so I'm going to rule this way. No, they were supposed to say, according to the rules. So they had a standard of judgment, and that's what we're supposed to do. When I look at something and I say, well, according to the Bible, as it says, I think it's Isaiah chapter 8, where it says, to the law and to the testimony. When I compare it to the Scriptures, if it doesn't measure up with that, that's not my opinion. That's righteous judgment, which is what we're supposed to do. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.